our gospel reading from the Gospel of John, and it's toward the end of it's the 18th chapter of John, and it picks up after Jesus has been arrested and has gone before Pilate at least once, and it tells of the conversation that Pilate had with Jesus in the headquarters. So our gospel today, John chapter 18. Glory to you, O Lord. So Pilate entered the headquarters again, and he summoned Jesus. And then he asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you asking this, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate said, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own people have handed you over. Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the religious leaders. But as it is, my kingdom is not from this world." So Pilate said, "So you are a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am. For this I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who knows the truth will listen to my voice." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Invite the children to head out with Kathy Bishop. I think the storybook today is Many Moons. And they'll hear that plus the retelling of this story in a language they understand. I've been doing some research, and I've discovered that there's a football game today. If you didn't know that, then, I don't know where you've been. So it seems appropriate to talk about football a little bit. My experience with organized football was rather brief. My senior year in high school, for those that don't know what senior year is, that's grade 12. I went out for the football team, and this was down in Austin, Texas. The school was Austin Westlake High School, and it's one of the most hardest, one of the hardest and most trying times of my life. In addition to the off season before in the spring, where you're working weights and running and things like that, when August rolls around, before school starts, a couple of weeks before school starts, the practices begin. And we called them two-a-days. It really means what it sounds like. It means we had two practices a day. Head out in the morning, I think it was around 8 o'clock, have a practice, and then take a break for lunch, maybe get a little bit of sleep in, then about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, come back again for another practice. That sounds hard, but remember, this was Austin, Texas, in August. And so every day, the temperature was over 100. It was brutal. And if you were going to be on that football team, you came to the practices. You knew that if you didn't, you weren't going to play, you weren't going to be on the team. And not only did you come, but of course you had to put on all the gear. You had to go out there. You had to do the drills. You had to learn the plays. It took something to become a member of that team. And it never occurred to me that I would tell the coach or any of the people that were in charge of that team to do things any differently. I mean, in that situation, the head coach was the one that called all the shots. And we all understood that. Anybody that didn't want to align themselves with the head coach either dropped off the team, didn't even try out. If you were there, you were on the team, and you were doing what the coach said. And it was pretty amazing because after all that hard work, all that preparation, of course, then we finally got to go to the games. And they say that high school football in Texas is like a religion. It almost is. Friday nights, I mean, we'd be trotting out on the fields, proud to be a part of the Austin Westlake Chaparrals. And we'd come in with a band playing, and the drill team was there, and the stands were full, and in a stadium built just for that event. It was an extraordinary thing. That season wasn't extraordinary for us. I think we went 2-8. But it was still, it's indelibly printed on my psyche, and that memory of what it took to be on that team was really strong. Today is Christ the King Sunday. And I think many of us are challenged by getting into what it means to have a king. Now, I know you here in Canada have a queen, only I think it's not quite the same as it used to be. And certainly me, I've spent most of my life down in the States, and so I'm still trying to wrap my head around having a queen. But as I looked to find a way, what is a way to understand what it means to follow a king, to give yourself to someone, to, without questioning, do what that person says? I came up with this head coach metaphor. Now, right off the bat, I'm going to acknowledge that there are real limitations to it. I'm not saying the head coach of the Calgary Stampede is like Jesus or like God. I'm not saying that. But I think it does offer some insight, because to be a Christian, I would say, means to be a disciple of Jesus, which means to acknowledge Jesus as model, as master, and as we remind ourselves today, as king. It is to align ourselves with Jesus, believing that Jesus' way, we call it the kingdom of God or the kingdom life, is to acknowledge Jesus as the one that tells us how to live. And the game metaphor kind of works, because there's lots of games out there that people play. I mean, of course, there's football, and there's hockey, and there's baseball, but there's also the game of making lots of money, the game of getting lots of fame, the game of having the biggest house, the game of looking the best, the game of trying to stay alive as long as you can. There's lots of games that we play. But Jesus says, when Pilate is pushing him about the kind of kingdom that Jesus has, Jesus' final response is, "I came for this, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. So out of all the games that we can play, or I would say all the games that we do tend to play, Jesus is inviting us to play the game that is about truth. I would say the game that's about true life. If you're going to play that game, then Jesus, in essence, you're acknowledging Jesus as your head coach. It means the rules are to the game, you pay attention to Jesus. If you want to understand what kind of drills you need to work on, what kind of behaviors you need to develop, what kind of way to understand how to live the world, Jesus is the one that we point to, listen to, that we obey as our head coach, as our king. Now, the playbook for this game of life is this. As we encounter God's word, as we study it, as we listen to it, understand the law and the way of life Jesus points out, it's like this is our primary source that we go to. And as we spend time with this, there's some words that we kind of shorten what it tells us to do. We have seven words that we tend to use around here. Pray, study, worship, invite, encourage, give, and serve. We call those the marks of discipleship. You might call it the marks of being in the game of life with Jesus as our head coach, as our king. We gather together and worship. We gather here, why? In some sense, it is like practice. We gather together to remind ourselves who we are, to reconnect with one another and to our God, and to recommit to not only just coming here on Sundays and playing the game on Sunday morning, but as we walk out these doors, to playing that game of life out in our life. It means to pray. It means that we are constantly checking in with our source, with our God, with our head coach, expressing what we need to, asking for what we need, but also listening for God's ongoing urgings through the Holy Spirit. We study, we spend time continuing to deepen our understanding of what Jesus is talking about, who God, who Jesus is calling us to be, what it is, what it looks like to be playing that game. We encourage one another, we give heart, because that's who Jesus was, one who came and gave heart and hope and courage to everyone he encountered. We serve. We intentionally look beyond ourselves to others because that is the God that we follow, the God that took on the body and the attitude of a servant for the sake of the world. And so we serve so that through us we get, and with us, God is making a difference in the world. We invite because the more we invest ourselves, the more we play this game of life, the more we realize that there are lots of folks out there that are playing games that aren't headed toward life, they're headed toward death. We constantly invite people to understand, to join us, to follow this one, to take on, get a different coach in life that actually guides them in ways that bring about life for them and for the world. And yes, we give. Now, we give, I think the kind of the Old Testament understanding is that offerings were made, sacrifices were made to God in order to kind of appease God. Last weekend we had Steve Bell here, a wonderful Christian songwriter, storyteller, I would say theologian too. And one of the things he talked about is, let's get serious. God doesn't need our worship. God doesn't need our offerings. God is just fine without us. But we gather and we do all these things and we give for ourselves. Because it's so easy to forget who our head coach is, to start playing other games. And we need constant reminders that wake us up, that allow us to recommit to do some holy giving, holy offering to God. So that we remember that we are on Jesus' team and playing the life, playing the game that leads life. And so we make a sacrifice, a holy offering to God out of what God has entrusted to us. Part of it is financial, but of course it's also time and energy. Just like when I was playing on the football team, it took something to be on that team. If you're going to be on the team and be equipped to be out in the world making a difference, it takes an ongoing practice, a sacrifice, a holy giving of time and energy and focus out of all that God has entrusted to us. Yes, today is Christ the King Sunday, an opportunity for us as we approach the end of the church year. Next Sunday will be the beginning of the new year as disciples and as people of Christ. On this New Year's Eve, we gather and remember and recommit ourselves to the God who is God, to Jesus who is our head coach, who is our King. And I invite you, as in a few moments during the hymn of the day, you're going to be invited to come and put your pledge cards. These are your financial pledges. That's one component of the stewardship. But I invite you, as you do that, to not think in terms of what would be easy, but what would make a difference for you. So that as you go from this place, as you manage your finances, as you go about managing your household and all that you that God has entrusted to you, what would make a difference so that your giving here is a holy giving, a sacrifice, and one that constantly reminds you and actually confronts you and challenges you to remember that God is number one, that if you're going to be on Jesus' team and you're going to be out there starting, it takes this kind of practice and ongoing discipline. This is the challenge before us today. Of course, it's not just a challenge today. These are just pledges. But every day, every week, every month, we have the ongoing opportunity to be playing the game that gives life. Let us pray. Oh God, you have given us the gift of your Son. An example, a window, a pathway, a freeway to life with you. A life full of grace and love. A way of life that brings life to us and to the world. As we once again commit ourselves to serve you, to follow you, to be part of what you are up to in the world, guide us, let your Spirit speak to us as we commit our financial resources to you. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So during the singing of the hymn, I invite you to come and place your pledges in the box.